turn around, high five somebody, give them an elbow, do what the feel like the Lord's wanting you to do right now. Good to see everybody today. You may be seated once you've smiled at somebody. Amen. This month, August the 29th and 30th, we're going to be having a Business of Life event with Josh Tolley. Amen. And just to let you be aware that on that Sunday, amen, that will be part of the event happening during our service time as well. And I feel strong about the need for this because more people I talk to and I serve, amen, and encourage, I'm finding out they have a passion to be more involved in the Great Commission. Does anybody want to be more involved in God's mission? Amen. But in our culture right now, it's interesting the pressure that's on believers because they're tied down to working a job and trying to make ends meet, and it just seems like there's not enough time in the day or the week, and the culture is not really conducive for us to be so focused on the kingdom of God. And I know that sounds like the way it is, but when you believe a lie, you get involved in that kind of thinking. Every day that you wake up, it's about the kingdom of God. You're already chosen. You already have identity. God's plan is for you. It's already been set. Every event in your life has already been set up by heaven. Amen. And so once we decide to align ourselves as stewards of the kingdom, amen, as children of God, God has placed into our care his inheritance. And we're stewards of the kingdom. We're here serving God's grander plan. And he's interested in us taking care of his treasure. And his treasure is people. Amen. And so I haven't yet talked to anyone that don't want to be more focused on who we truly are in taking care of God's business. And so Josh Tolley offers, amen, some insight from Scripture, sound truth, that will help you make some decisions that's going to require you have some faith. Does anybody need any faith? We're going to talk about that today. And so if you want to be more effective in your identity, you don't want to miss August the 29th and 30th. You want to get on board. You want to get on that website and go ahead and sign up. Amen. And during our Sunday service, if you or can't be a part of it, but you can be here during the service time, you're welcome to come on in and participate. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be blessed, and you can hang out with us. Amen? So nobody's going to be pushed away. Everybody can be involved. Is that okay? I'm looking forward to releasing the burden right now that's on me on the topic of faith versus or fear versus faith. Amen? Discovering your true self. We don't stop talking about what God talks about, and that's you and your identity. We just can't stop that. And it's so valid because every one of us in the culture that we live, in the world we live, we all have a common language that we can all connect with. Everybody agree with that? And when we're speaking that language, we know what's being said. We understand it. We're connecting. We're receiving, amen, what we need from one another. And so, regardless of your status in our culture, whether you're wealthy or poor, no matter, whether you're educated or you see yourself as being uneducated, our life, spirit, soul, and body, amen, are being influenced by divine purpose and God's great big interest in you. Amen. And I've come to realize that God has a language that we all can speak. Amen. And this is what I want to encourage you with today. Amen. God is defined in Scripture as spirit, breath. God is love. God is love, and he is spirit, and he expresses from himself life. Amen. His language is always life. Every time he speaks, life. And the beautiful thing about God's plan is he formed us in his image. He set us up to be like him. Amen. That we too are spirit and we are breath. Amen. We are designed to be love. And our expression should be life every time we speak. Does anybody agree that that just sounds right? That the temptation, though, in our lives is that we get enamored by knowledge and the note to know more because there's a sense of power that comes with that. But God did not design Adam to eat from knowledge. He, as a matter of fact, he encouraged him, amen, with a command. Do not eat from this tree. Because when you eat from knowledge, your expression from knowledge is death. Now, Pastor, what are you trying to say to us right now? The temptation, amen, when I'm eat up with knowledge is to think that I may know more than you. And if I know more than you based on my personal knowledge, I might judge you. I might even measure you. I might even go ahead and condemn you as being stupid. That's the temptation the enemy wants us to buy into. But when you eat from life, amen, when you're connected and you give away the language of God, which is life, you don't judge anyone. Amen. You don't condemn anyone. You can't be offended with anyone. I know this is preaching to several of us here today, but I'm not preaching at nobody. I'm looking in the mirror and letting God talk to me about me. Amen. And as much as knowledge is attractive, the Lord says he can be much more attractive by just us taking some time, amen, and make some room for him to come. Every time we make room for him to come, amen, a dynamic happens where, amen, all of a sudden we want more of him, and then we want more of him, and then we want more of him, amen, and we can keep getting more and more and more, and this thing's eternal. But he can't come to me in pride. He can only come to me in humility. Amen. He can't give me what I need when I'm not thinking correctly. I may be thinking thoughts that I think are true, thoughts that I think are accurate, but really, they're only thoughts that bring death. And so God builds his plan into each one of us through the spirit of humility. And he has made us in his likeness to do this. And so to speak the language that we were designed to speak, giving Jesus lead is key in our lives. We must make the decision every day to follow him. Amen. My sheep, which follow me, he's talking to me now. He says, they hear my voice and they give me room to know them. And as they give me room to be intimate with them, they're able and they're empowered to follow me. Anybody want to follow Jesus? You can't read the Bible enough, amen, and be able to quote the Bible enough to follow him. Well, let me say it this way. The apostle said the letter kills, but the spirit makes alive. Thank God for our Bible. Amen? Because when you read it correctly, with an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, all of a sudden it's not about how I interpret it. It's more important about how he interprets it through me. Anybody want to let Jesus interpret his will through you? The expression of life. Amen? And so we're talking about becoming our true self. You're just like your daddy. And so I have to ask myself the question when I look in the mirror, which daddy do I have? I have to challenge myself, amen, on what fruit am I carrying? Amen? And so what I say reveals who I'm in alignment with, who I agree with. And so it's becoming more and more apparent in New Life Fellowship that going to church is not the answer. Being the church is the only answer. Amen. Becoming your true self. Amen. And so I've got a scripture here I want to read to you. Has anybody ever been in a position where you were self-posturing and self-promoting? You were protecting yourself in a conversation or in a meeting? Anybody ever done that before? You ever felt uncomfortable in a meeting or being around people, and next thing you know, you're protecting your interest and you're trying to convince them you're important? Amen. I think we all say we've been there more than we want to talk about. And so that's a telltale sign that we're not in rhythm with or in alignment with, or we haven't slowed down, amen, to get into the melody of what God is speaking, get in tune with Him. Because He's not intimidated. Remember, you are like your father. You're like your father. He's not intimidated. He is not moved by fear, doubt, unbelief. What motivates Him is faith, hope, and love. Amen? Because that's what He is. And He's moving us into our identity, amen, because faith, hope, and the greatest of these three, being love, is who you truly are. Amen? And so we're being made into His image. We're in a process of forming into true identity in Christ. And so when we allow Jesus to lead in our lives, we all see people from the same lens. Everybody want to see this through anybody from the same lens? Well, here's what Paul said. When Jesus is king of His kingdom within, then from this kingdom, He's able to be king, amen, and be a blessing to everyone around. And he says, when He's that, this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do that no longer. Now, I want you to notice how he's writing, he's bringing you and Christ together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation will come. Has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciles us Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us is given the heavenly opportunity of reconciliation. So, now since reconciliation is a Christianese word to many people here today, I will pause for just a moment and give you a more current cultural definition of what Paul is writing when he says Jesus has given you the same mission and ministry that He had when He showed up 2,000 years ago. God in flesh. He was doing one thing. He was showing you who you are. Every day he walked through life in flesh, He was revealing who you were. He was letting you know how powerful you are. And this is the plan. Come follow Me and I will make you. This word reconciliation means the restoration of friendly relations in up-to-date terms. Let's look at it from another lens. Reuniting and bringing back together the relationships that belong to Jesus. You and I have been given a mission from heaven, not apart from being empowered, not apart from being given a name that's above every name. You, He calls by His name. You have been given an opportunity to restore those that are in your path back into fellowship with their Father. That is the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have been given a language from heaven because our identity, amen, equals life. as a person that houses the identity of God being love and God being spirit, through you, God's breath is able to give life to everyone in your path. Those that have no hope today, Marty, they can get hope because, amen, you said, yes, Lord. And what are we going to do today, Lord? And we open up our spirit to whatever the will of the Father is. Every word that we speak becomes valid, whether death is what it does or life is what it does. What are we saying today? And so I challenge you as we go through this. I know me. Amen. I grew up. I had challenges. I had negative emotions. I had things that come into my life, which we'll talk about next week too, that taught me to react in a certain way. These negative emotions in my life trained me, even going to church, even, amen, trying to surrender to God and to be God's son. These negative emotions have a way of training us, amen. And in the process of training us, amen, they lead us away from God, not to God, on a daily basis. And so if anyone's here have ever had a negative emotion, I understand where you've been. If there's anyone here that's being challenged with posturing yourself, with self-posture and self-protection, amen, you're trying to protect your interest in your little world, I understand where you are. It's real. And the enemy's goal is to do one thing, to manipulate you from believing who God says you are. Every waking day, he wants to stop your Father, who is love, your Father, who is spirit, from expressing life through you. Can we all agree on that? The enemy, if he can convince you in any way, if he can plant a seed, a lie, if he can plant some kind of emotional challenge in your life, he wants to stop you from expressing life. He would rather you join with him, amen, and use the Bible if you want to. He'll let you do that so you can express death. Amen? And so, we're becoming our true selves by the grace of God, and I thank him for that. The old has passed, the new has come. So we're in a constant transformation process as we become ourselves. How does this occur within us? How does this happen? And Jesus is committed to walking us through every challenge of fear in our life. Anybody fear anything? Anybody worried about anything? The pandemic bother you in any way? The social unrest and where our nation is going, amen, as they build bigger fences. Does that bother you in any way? The Lord says we're in these circumstances and situations because he has a plan to lead us through the fear. He wants to teach us, develop us, and begin to encourage us to know who we are as we go through the storm, through the challenge, and become who we're designed to be. Amen? We all agree with that. And so, what kind of fear, what kind of shame, what kind of negative emotion are you dealing with right now that keeps you from joining with Jesus and allowing him to work his will through you? Your zeal to carry the gospel. Anybody want to carry the gospel? Overcome disease and affliction. You want to lay hands on the sick and they recover. We're commissioned to, as Jesus would commission you 2,000 years ago, to cast out demons and heal the sick. Can I say it this way? Let's bring it up to date here. He really has commissioned you to, amen, neutralize every lie and bring health and healing to every soul. You have been put together in such a way by our Heavenly Father that God's plan to put the enemy, amen, under our feet, he started something 2,000 years ago, and he gives us an experience of his spirit that if we'll trust him, every demon, every lie that anyone's ever believed that has them in prison to sickness and disease and bankruptcy and marital breakdowns and relationship breakdowns, and every lie that holds people captive, you've been given by God the authority, the dominion, the identity. Amen. To resist the enemy and cast him out, to neutralize every lie he's ever spoken to anybody that's they're in your path because God's empowered you. You're powerful. God designed you to step into your true self. He's a life giver, and he's made you to be a life giver. Amen. It's a lie that relationships are falling apart. The Lord didn't say that. It's a lie. What are we going to do about it? It's a lie that I'm going to die with disease. The Lord didn't say that. What are we going to do about it? Is anybody tracking? You want to put the enemy on the run? Everybody in this room, your best days are before you. You haven't lived your best day yet. It starts right now. All things are possible to them that believe. And what are we to believe? What the Lord says. What's he saying right now? If you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, I can assure you that he's already ordered your steps. You may not can see that far ahead, but you know the next step. Amen. And trusting him is like jumping in daddy's hands and letting us see his power at work. Amen. So what do we do as believers? Amen, that need to know and do, amen, and to have the kind of impact that we're validated by heaven to have in our world. How does Jesus develop in this faith, this hope, and this love? Amen, there's three key things that we want to talk about, amen, that really bring us into becoming our true self. And number one is, of course, faith. How do you ever, amen, get in a position that you have faith figured out? What does faith mean to you today? Amen. Have you ever been in a position where you thought, well, I don't have enough faith? What does enough faith mean to you today? We live in a world right now that, amen, they feel like their faith is being challenged. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I have been challenged multiple times with my faith. I've got so many stories of my faith being challenged. It's like it does not stop. Amen. But I want to encourage you. Faith for us, amen, is based on relationship and not what God does. My faith in God is based on my relationship with God and not what God does for me. This is very important for you to catch this today, because everybody is tempted to think that, well, faith is contingent upon God performing something and doing something on your behalf. No, it's not. Not at all. That's not what faith is about. Amen. So when you consider the scripture that everybody knows in Hebrews 11 that talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Do you have any hope in your life for something? The evidence of things not seen. Join with me, because we're talking about you coming into your true self. Faith is the substance of something you're hoping for. Is anybody hoping for anything? Because if you're hoping for something, you have faith. You haven't seen it yet, but you have something else that we're going to move into and talk about here in the next moment. You have hope. If you can hope for something, amen, then you have the kind of faith that God is looking for. I like the way Jesus did it. You know, he chose the smallest thing known to man during his time, a mustard seed. Had there been knowledge of an atom, he would have chosen Adam, maybe. Whatever the smallest thing in quantum mechanics that we can describe, amen, if that would have been something that the people knew about, he would have taken that level of tininess and said, if you have this, you can move a mountain. And some of you are letting the enemy convince you, just like I have in the past, Do I have enough faith? I don't think I have enough faith. Who told you that lie? Amen. We have been wired by heaven, amen, to have hope. Everybody in this world has a level of faith, amen, that can move heaven on their behalf at any time if they will just engage it. You ever heard anyone say, man, I don't have any faith, I don't even believe in God? Ladies and gentlemen, God is love, and we've just opened up with that thought today. If you do you love anything in this world? Is there somebody that you love? God's challenging us right now to consider something that's so significant. Because if you can love someone at all, you believe in God. Because you can't love without God. Can you hope for something? Because if you can hope for something and love someone in the process of hoping for this thing that you're looking for, amen, you have just fulfilled the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Everyone in this room, the potential that you have right now, not tomorrow, not today at 2 o'clock, but right now at 11:08, the potential that you have right now blows the enemy's mind, and his goal is to keep you disconnected in your fellowship with God. He wants to disengage your ability to communicate, to have faith in the fact that you have been made in his image, that 2,000 years ago when he died, the death that he died, our death, and he shed his blood, that he purchased you. He saw you while he was dying our death, and he made plans for you by taking on our sin, taking on our guilt, taking on our shame. Why would we hold an identity like that today? That I'm not worthy. Amen. Why would we allow the identity of fear to take over in our life when God gave you the authority to walk with him? Amen. You have the faith to move that mountain. You have what it takes to move heaven on the scene right now. Amen? Huh. So how much faith do you need for this hope and this assurance to work in your life? Amen? And it's important that we as followers of Jesus recognize that Jesus is the one that said it. He's speaking to those that are listening to him. He said, I've placed the kingdom within you. Everything that God has planned has already been put in you. The way that thing ignites is how we let him come to his house. And the enemy knows that if he can get us to feel guilty enough, ashamed enough, unworthy enough, to fear enough, that God can't come into his house. And the only way the enemy can build his kingdom and build his purpose and fulfill his campaign is when he convinces us to wear a mask or to put on a different identity than the one that God has given us. Amen. So, wow. Paul says it this way in Romans 12:3. Amen. God has given everybody in this room a measure of faith. And I chose the Passion Version here to challenge you with kind of an update, amen, language. This is what it says here in Romans 12:3. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. He's basically telling you and I that we can come into our true self at this point when we take on that God-given faith. I like what the scripture says about Abraham. It says, and Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, and finding it not. He's known as the father of faith. There was times in his faith walk that it looked like he wasn't going to get what he was promised. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But it wasn't about him receiving the promise. It was about the relationship he had with the one giving the promise. And not putting a condition on the one that gave him the promise and putting a timeline on the one that gave him. Anybody ever put a condition on God and a timeline? Lord, don't talk to me if you can't do it now. Now, we didn't say that out loud, have we? But the temptation to put a condition on the Spirit of God coming when he designed us as his temple to host his presence. But I'm just going to tell you, the enemy's good at his manipulation and control. He's good at coming and planting the kind of seed that looks like God don't care. Because if God cared, I wouldn't be going through this stuff I'm going through. And so, because I get worked up with a negative emotion or I feel the need to protect my interests, amen, God didn't leave me, I left him. And now I got real heartburn. All because I bought into a lie that said, yeah, and Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And that city we know is the Church of the Living God. We are that city. Amen. He didn't find it because the church hadn't yet been born. Amen. The coming of Jesus in spirit and truth hadn't happened yet. But you, under God's grace, under God's new covenant with us, we have been given, amen, that title, that identity. We are the house of God. And so, this is what I'm picking up the Lord telling me. So I hope this is encouraging someone here today. That my role in relationship with him is to be his vessel. I'm to be his house. I'm to be a particular member in his body. God chose me, amen, as the platform, his representative, to fulfill his mission. And he's given me some downloads. And I'm just going to tell you something. Amen. Our next level of this thing is we go from faith to hope. That's being a big thinker. The idea that the imagination is not from heaven. No, God gives us imagination. Mm-hmm. Anybody got a big imagination? It's from heaven. Don't let the enemy steal it from you. And don't let the enemy convince you, amen, through religious lies, that's of the devil. Your imagination is God-given. Now, who's going to have the most influence in it? And that's our decision. That's how powerful we are. When we have hope, amen, in the wrong source, we're miserable. When we have hope in the right source, we are moving into our true self and we become happy regardless if we have the tangible thing that we're hoping for. We have something much more powerful, much more valid, and that's the presence of God. Now, I know that logically everybody would agree. I would rather have the presence of God than the thing that's tangible that he promised me. Actions speak louder than words. Amen? Pastor, you're just all up in our Kool-Aid. No, he's in my Kool-Aid. He's talking to me about where my faith and my hope is. And hope is a platform for big thinking. It moves heaven on a level that, amen, gives him liberty, regardless of the time, regardless of the challenge, regardless of the storm. When somebody asks me about my faith, I start talking about the things God said to me. And by the way, I don't have anything else that really sustains me other than the faith that God has given me. Not being the perfect person, not always making the right calls, but I do have one thing the things that God has spoken to me, and I can't let go of them. If I stumble, if I mess up, if I don't do things just right, amen, I've learned one thing. Get up, because a righteous man can fall seven times. Come on. And he can keep moving. That's men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. We have something to give away today. Amen. Our language is life. It's hope. Why? Because we have the presence of God. He's king of his kingdom within. And he speaks from his house and he gives life. He's a life giver. Well, Pastor, God's promised you so many things and he hadn't done everything he said he was going to do. I could care less. I used to couldn't say that. The presence of God. Don't leave me, Lord. I need you. I don't need what you're saying you're going to do. I need you. You said you was going to do it. I didn't ask you to say it, but you said it. I believe you. I'm going to stand. Therefore, I'm going to stand and just let you do what you're going to do, Lord. What we have need of is a fresh word from heaven. We're life givers. We're life givers. And I'm just going to tell you, as God uses you to bring life, there's going to be levels of prophetic utterances and declarations that's going to bring levels of hope to people. But don't make that the theme. The theme is not faith and hope, thank God for it. But the greatest of the three is love. That's who you are. Because that's who he says you are. Amen. God decided to establish you, amen, in a place where all of his creation would begin to recognize, amen, who he is. God wants you to become yourself. Amen. But there's signals. There's signals that we can know come into play that lets us know that we're not living out our true identity of love. Next week we're going to get into that because we want to make the journey of becoming who we truly are for him. If you're challenged today with the fact that nobody cares, nobody really loves me like I really want to be loved, and you feel like you got to put up, amen, a fuss and a fight for your interest, amen, it's time for you to begin to recognize, just like I'm recognizing. I'm not Mr. Perfect. I don't have it all worked out. But I can host the presence of the one that can work it out. There's two very important words that Christians don't own, but we use them often. And they were before Christianity happened. It's called confession and repentance. It's just that we've learned that, man, that's an important thing to do. And so evaluating where I am in my emotional health, my emotional intelligence. Without God, I can do nothing. And when God's not where he belongs in my spirit, there's indicators that he's not there. Does anybody agree that the person in the mirror is much more powerful than the devil? There's nothing that has power over you. Did y'all know that? Nothing that has power over you. The devil only can get power by manipulating the power from you. Yeah. The fact that sickness and disease and finances and the list goes on that it looks like has power over you is not true. Nothing has power over you. God invested complete dominion and authority in you. The only reason it looks like some of this stuff has power over you is because there's a lie there. And the moment I need to posture myself, to self-promote myself or self-protect myself, that's an indicator that he's not king of his kingdom. And that typically when I'm there, pretty much about 100% of the time, heartburn's going to grow. Anxiety, shame, guilt, unworthy, all kinds of things are going to begin to grow. Amen. Whatever it is that I've opened the door to, it's coming in like a wave. It's coming in like a flood. Right? So either we can let the Lord rush in or we're going to let the enemy rush in. If we all agree on this? And every waking day, you and I have been given the privilege by heaven, and his mercies are made new every morning. We got a good daddy. Oh, man, he's so good. That's comforting. He's just, he gave me another day so that I could adjust. Instead of self-posture, I could position myself, say, okay, here, daddy. I know you want me more than I want you. I don't know how that works. And I know you love me more than I love you, and I'm going ahead and giving in to that. And there's some people that need to be loved today, but I'm not going to be able to do it if you don't help me. And so we just got getting real because we know indicators. They produce the same bad fruit. They produce the same death every time. They produce the same broken relationship every time. And so here come, daddy. Take your vessel and express your language through me and give me life so that others can live. Last week, we concluded with the reality that time doesn't run God. Time is within God. And that what he had purposed for you in your life is still in play. Tony Mills, every event is still in play. Tony believes this. And he knows that he's been given a call from heaven to redeem the time. And that God gives back every year. Everything. Every year. The challenge right now for us is we're yielding to our true selves. And by the grace of God, experiencing the presence of God, the baptism of his spirit and fire, not just one time, ladies and gentlemen, but every waking day, you can have a greater experience in God. Do you want it? You can't figure out how to do it, but you can ask. You can seek, and you can knock, and he's much better daddy than I am. I love my family, but he loves my family more than I do. He loves me more than I can imagine loving, and he's ready to come to his house suddenly. Is that what the truth? If anyone feel after me, just if you just take a moment and let's do that right now. Nobody else is here but Jesus and his bride. Come on. And this is the bedchambers for Jesus and his bride. And he loves giving his bride an experience that's intimate. And all he's asking for her is just to feel after him. Can leave today and your language would be life because you let him give you the seed of life. Worship team's about to sing, but we're going to worship with them and we're just going to feel after the Lord and right where you're sitting. Last week we sit and we just bask in the Lord. I like reading passages, and while they were sitting, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And fire. and they begin to become their true selves. And they begin to speak the language of heaven. Amen. And they gave life away. Let's open up our spirit right now. It's just us and Daddy. The difference between fear and faith is when we decide to become our true self. Don't try to figure it out. Just experience it. Don't try to figure it out. Just experience it. When you leave here today, you can know who He says you are is settled. You won't be able to give a Bible study on it. That's okay. But you'll know, because the knowing was intimately experienced. Just you and Jesus right now. Receive what He's trying to give you. Our community's waiting on this to happen. Thank you, Father.